Welcome. This is Christopher Holmes, and this is the Zero Point Radio Show. And the date today is August 18th, 2012. And in the background, I have Dee there. Hi, Dee.
Hi, Christopher.
How are you?
I'm well, thank you. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood today.
It is up here, too. Yeah,
yeah.
That shallow seemed to blow things out and bring the cool air in more. Yeah, it was nice.
Yeah, it's gorgeous today. So we might not have an awful lot of listeners in the Ontario area, but they can see the archive online.
Yeah, yeah, good. We need to get them up online somehow.
Yeah, and they need their vitamin D, so I'm not even going to argue with them that much today, as long as they listen, because this show's important.
Well, Dee, you've got a number of things you wanted to cover, so why don't we turn to covering some of those things and go through some of the materials you've been sending.
Okay. Well, those of our audience who know me and know what I've been doing for the past 20 years know that I have been a screaming advocate about the lack of truth, lack of accountability, and outright criminal behavior of our health agencies, both the FDA in America and the Health Canada up here. And, you know, one of the things that is not a shock to us activists, but it is a shock to people, is that these two organizations are now being described by an FDA whistleblower as basically a criminal mafia protecting their client, which is Big Pharma, and they use mob strategies, including threats against people's family when they want to make sure that an unsafe drug does not reach the marketplace. Now, as I said, we activists have been hearing about this and pointing fingers for many, many years now to no avail. And one of the reasons it was to no avail was because there were very few people who would stand up and tell the truth. There had to be some major coercion going on because there was so much silence. I mean, ordinarily, when you're faced with that level of criminality and really, really evil type of criminality, we're mm-hmm. talking making money off the backs of sick people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's pretty damn dirty.
Yeah.
So when you're talking about that level of criminality and the amounts of money that are involved, we're talking billions and billions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know that there's going to be some funny business going on, and there's always been a stench coming out of both Health Canada and the FDA. There's always been a stench, and every alternative health news site and every investigative reporter who has ever dug into these issues and every health freedom group on the planet always points to the dirtiness inside their own government agencies who are charged with protecting the health, ha-ha, of their citizens. They are supposed to be serving the citizens, and as every farmer knows, there's another meaning for the word service, isn't there?
Yes.
So, I mean, essentially, what has come out is the following, okay? There was an interview done with truthout.org's Martha Rosenberg. She used to be, she's amazing. She's got a history as a reporter that's amazing. And who she interviewed was a fellow by the name of Ronald Kavanaugh, a former FDA drug reviewer. And he's the guy who came out and said, one manager threatened my children. Okay, now further on in the program, in about 45 minutes, and we're going to be talking a lot about what went on that Kavanaugh exposed, not only to Truthout, but now our friend John Rappaport is on that case, as is Mike Adams, as is Gary Noe. All these people are going after this story, and it's because finally we have somebody standing up and telling the truth from the inside. Finally, somebody said, enough of the threats, I'm going to speak out because my conscience can't stand it anymore. And then after that, we have coming on board with us today, the one whistleblower from Health Canada who has ever really stood up, he and his team, who has stood up to the point of letting himself get fired, okay, and that is Dr. Shiv Chopra, who is a former reviewer for Health Canada and who, with his team, prevented bovine growth hormone from being used in Canadian dairy and livestock products. So Shiv has saved a lot of Canadian lives with his activity, and he's going to be joining us around 4:45 in about 3/4 of an hour, and he's going to be telling us some of the contents of his book titled, get this, Corrupt to the Core, Memoirs of a Health Canada Whistleblower.
Wow.
He's our hero in health freedom in this country, and he's going to be joining us in 45 minutes. So let's get back to what happened with truthout.org.
So this came out through this truthout.org.
Yes.
And this fellow was being interviewed. And so what he was doing was saying about, like, the sick pharmaceutical monopoly behind the whole thing.
Here's a quote from him. He calls it widespread racketeering, including witness tampering and witness retaliation. Quote, I was threatened with prison. Quote, one FDA manager threatened my children. I was afraid that I could be killed for talking to Congress and criminal investigation.
Wow.
Okay, he was a reviewer of new drug applications. Okay, he basically was one of the holdouts at the agency, and he insisted that drugs had to be safe and effective. So you can imagine what happened to him when he was finding out things that were absolutely contradictory. And he recalled one meeting, says John Rappaport, where a drug company representative flat out stated that his company had paid the FDA for a new drug approval, paid for it, as in a bribe.
Yeah.
Now, this is absolutely stunning. You know, there's so many people everywhere who support the troops. Now, regardless, bearing in mind, regardless of whether you agree or not with the wars that they're fighting, regardless of anything, these guys only know what they know, and they're over there risking their lives. So they're due a certain modicum of respect no matter which side of the fence you sit on. Okay? Now, a drug that Kavanaugh mentions, pyridostigmine, which was given to U.S. troops to prevent the later effects of nerve gas, actually increased the lethality of certain nerve agents. In other words, they knew that the drug was dangerous. They knew exactly what was going to happen if this particular drug was given, and the so-called terrorists or insurgents they're fighting against were using another kind of nerve gas. This particular drug would make the troops more subject to the effects of nerve gas issued by the other side if it wasn't one particular type. Now, what's interesting is the other side doesn't have that kind of gas. So what were they feeding the troops? And why were they doing that?
Yeah, it raises all kinds of questions.
Oh, doesn't it though?
Yeah.
Doesn't it though? And then you're looking at you know, the fact that medically approved drugs, properly prescribed and properly administered, kill 106,000 Americans every year. And they've known that. It was written in the Journal of the American Medical Association in the year 2000.
Wow. Goodness.
So, you know, you're talking about a culture of criminality that is essentially one that says, you know, we want this drug approved because we're going to make billions on it, and you're going to do it. Here's $5 million to make sure you do.
Hence, people go along with it.
Hence, people go along with it. Because, hey, the government approved it, must be safe. They wouldn't approve anything that wasn't safe, would they? Well, witness Vioxx and Avandia. And shall we go on with the list of drugs that Zyprexa, all these drugs? I mean, come on. You look on American TV these days, and you're going to see all kinds of ads for law firms that are handling class action suits over drugs. 1-800-BAD-DRUG is one of the numbers you can call in the States if you've got a complaint. Seriously, 1-800-BAD-DRUG.
Wow.
I mean, and here I'm advertising for these guys, right? But the bottom line is, you're looking at a system that is nothing more than a money mill. And here's something that came from Progressive Radio Network in recent days. In 20 years, in other words, by 2035, if the current trend continues, and this is from the Annals of Family Medicine, okay, the average family in the United States will face medical costs that exceed their family income, their whole family income.
Holy shucks.
Okay, so basically, buckle up, people, because you know your five-year-old who's 5 years old right now, well, guess what? You know, 20 years from now, that kid is not going to have any health care because he won't be able to afford it.
And we're not going to have a pharmacy company there ready to
run. Oh, well, even right now, do you know what the ads in the States say right now, Christopher?
No.
They all have things like, if you can't afford your prescription, we may be able to help. And then they send you to a website. And these pharma people will actually subsidize their own drugs.
Yeah.
They will subsidize the sale of their own drugs. Now, what's being exposed by Gary Null? Now, there's an excellent Flash movie that can be seen right now today at Mercola.com. And it's basically titled The War on Health, the FDA's Cult of Tyranny.
Wow.
Now,
that's excellent.
When you realize the extent of how far they have strayed from their actual mandate, you want to hear what their mandate is? This is their mission statement.
Mm-hmm.
This is prepare to fall off your chair laughing. Okay? The FDA, this is a quote right from their mission statement. The FDA is responsible for protecting the public health by assuring the safety, efficacy, and security of human and veterinary drugs, biological products, medical devices, our nation's food supply, cosmetics, and products that emit radiation. The FDA is also responsible for advancing the public health by helping to speed innovations that make medicines and foods more effective, safer, and more affordable, and helping the public get the accurate, science-based information they need to use medicines and foods to improve their health.
Well, I mean, it's funny. I would have thought, well, that is right. That's what they should be doing. But
it's a complete joke.
It's
a complete propaganda piece because mm-hmm. everything that they do is counterproductive against
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Yeah.
Everything that they do. And here's some more. This is more information coming from them. Okay. The report that was exposed by PRN was that it found that the development of medical products based on, quote, new science cannot be adequately regulated by the FDA, and that the FDA doesn't have the capacity to do risk assessment and analysis.
Oh.
Now, funny thing, Health Canada is in the same position because we used to have state-of-the-art scientific labs. Dr. Shiv Chopra told me some years ago that it was one of the best labs in the world. Well, what did Health Canada do with it? They sold it. So now they're dependent on outside agencies to do their testing, and who knows where the money is, and we'll get into that in the next hour.
Yeah.
But, you see, we're looking at the FDA right now, and here you're talking about an agency assessed to be incapable of following its own mission statement. Incapable physically.
Yeah.
Lacks coherent structure and vision, and this is a quote, lacks coherent structure and vision as well as effective coordination and prioritization. One, its scientific base has eroded and its scientific organizational structure is weak. Two, its scientific workforce does not have sufficient capacity and capability. And three, its information technology, IT, infrastructure is inadequate. So it doesn't have its ducks in a row at all.
Mm-hmm.
Not at all.
Who made those points?
Well, this was the report.
Oh, yeah.
This was the report. And the report came from the Subcommittee on Science and Technology, and this was in the year 2007.
Oh.
And the title of it was FDA Science and Mission at Risk by the Subcommittee on Science and Technology for the U.S. government. And this is all their reasons. Now, in the meantime, in the time since that report came out, 5 years ago. Now, 5 years ago, how many people have died and been affected by bad drugs since in the last 5 years? Well, 106,000 a year die. So we're talking 530,000 people, Americans alone, have died because this report wasn't taken seriously.
Yeah.
How about that? There you go. You've got 500,000 deaths plus.
Yeah, yeah.
Because somebody didn't read what we paid for.
And that's just the outstanding figure, because that's like someone who actually dies as a result of their drug. It's not all those people who have all kinds of other ailments and need other drugs to resolve other ailments.
And not only add to that the fact that these deaths, I mean, there's nothing a hospital or a doctor won't do to make sure that whatever he prescribed to the patient isn't shown to be the cause of death.
Yeah.
Okay, because heavens, if they said, oh, I gave him the wrong drug, I'm sorry, the next thing they'd hear from is the lawyers, right? So are they likely? Come on. Let's get real. They're human beings, and they put their pants on one leg at a time like you and me. Okay, so the bottom line is they're going to do their first thing. It's fight or flight. In this case, they can't fight if the drug is the cause of death. So they got to flee, don't they? So they're going to cover it up, aren't they? Right? Nobody asked for a lawsuit. So the whole system is set up so that ultimately the patient dies and either the doctor takes the blame, or nobody knows what, oh, well, we don't know, he just couldn't handle it, he couldn't take any more, yada, yada, yada. And it's really easy to tell a family, you know, we did everything we could.
Yeah.
And that's what they'll say. Now, as I mentioned to you before, just before we came on air, there's another point to be made here that comes in with this, okay? And the point to be made is that there are specific groups of our society who are at particular risk, because of the fact that they are helpless one way or another. One of those is our children, who we see Child Protective Services, Children Aid Societies, et cetera, all these relevant agencies coming in and literally taking children and adults off the street, practically. They're abducting now seniors from their homes. You know, if they get any idea that a person is alone,
mm-hmm.
Now we're talking about the Seniors at Risk Coalition. And anybody who wants to nose in there, it's seniorsatrisk.org is their website. But, I have, in my personal experience, knowledge of one fellow who's literally being killed by the system. And efforts are being made by this organization to help save his and many other Canadian lives. So, I mean, we're talking about agencies that pass on their sickness to other agencies, such as Children's Aid, which mandates the forced consumption of drugs on children who are in foster care. The foster mothers can't say squat about it. They have to buy the prescriptions and they have to feed the drugs. So essentially what's happening is you've got a system gone mad because it's top-down corruption. It's top-down. It doesn't stop. It's sort of like, hey, these guys are making money. Why can't we?
Yeah, and it's brought all into the children's aid and other societies like
the
law societies.
And the nursing homes and all of that kind of stuff. And when you look at the intertwined nature of how these agencies operate and what kind of money flows through their hands because they operate that way, it is one scary thing because it's like, holy crap, if we actually cleaned house, we'd have nothing left. We'd have nothing at all. So a lot of people think, well, you know, it's what we've got. We've got to work with what we've got, yada, yada, because they're afraid to be without a system. And quite frankly, from what I'm hearing from seniors at risk and from what I'm hearing from foster mothers and from Love Cry about child abuse and from Reverend Kevin Annette, whose work against child abuse, institutional abuse by the church and state, and by Big Pharma, I mean, you look at all of the vulnerable people in the world are taking the hit. And everybody else in the middle who isn't vulnerable is sitting there going, lotta, lotta, when is American Idol on TV? Or when's the game on TV? And we've had that discussion how many times now, you and I?
Yeah, a lot of times. So they must be doing well with nursing homes. I just noticed a new ad in the Ottawa Citizen about how many more demented we're supposed to have in Eastern Ontario over the next 5 years or something.
Oh, well, this is it. I mean, you look at the regimen of drugs that most seniors are put on, and they're put on drugs which produce side effects, and then they're given more drugs to offset the side effects, and these side effects, in fact, have side effects. So you're talking, I mean, there's a lot of seniors out there, probably everybody listening has somebody in their family, or even them themselves. Count the number of drugs you got to take in a day just to stay vertical, or just to stay as vertical as you are, and how's that working out for you?
Yeah.
Because these people are the ones who are getting slowly but surely, incrementally disabled. And then what happens? Well, gee, all of a sudden, hey, mom can't take care of the house anymore, so where does mom go? Into total dependence on a system that isn't going to give a rat's butt in terms of care for what she thinks or what she wants, right? And what they'll do is they'll turn around and declare her non-compos mentis, and a provincial guardian or trustee will step in and say, yeah, the doctors say this, so we agree. And the next thing you know, that person is in total control, as are all their assets and finances, because guess what? Far from being a public institution covered by insurance, now, if you're a senior, they take what they can get their hands on. They take your pension for taking care of you.
In Canada?
In Canada, yes, they do. And if that leaves your spouse with not enough money to run the household, well, that your spouse then has to apply for a special dispensation to allow her or him to keep some of that pension in order to stay housed. Because, you know what, when they run into that little brick wall, it's cheaper to give her him the pension of like a paltry $900 or so a month, right, than it is to house them in public housing. Okay, so it always comes down to a matter of money. And then we can look at the ongoing debate that's been going on for about a year and a half now about Obamacare and the death panel.
Oh, yeah.
Right, now even Sarah Palin came out. Jeez. If Sarah Palin comes out against it, must be true, right? But at any rate, even Sarah Palin came out on this one and said, there's death panels in there. And, of course, the Obama administration said, oh, no, there aren't. Well, if you take a read of the actual clauses, oh, Yes, there are. And on top of that, you see, they do it at arm's length. And the way that they do it is they ration the health care. So by rationing, what they do is they decrease by degrees your access to health care upon age. There was an article I read a couple of weeks ago, and I regrettably can't remember where I read it. But there was an article that I read in Canada in a fairly mainstream source, and it's, and it may even have been CBC, I can't remember. But the thing is that if you have the need for some elective surgery and your age is 75 plus, you're not going to get it.
Yeah.
It won't be approved. And it is getting to the point now where doctors have been known for years to be, you know, kind of engineering the demise of their elderly patients out of some kind of twisted sense of kindness, you know, that people don't have the dignity to die on their own. Now, I can understand that in certain cases where people are in god-awful pain.
Yeah, or,
you know,
or
they
in,
would be
in the hospital with Alzheimer's and can't remember anything.
Well, even that, you know, I mean, my mom had Alzheimer's, okay? And even though she was putting the food in the pot cupboard and the empty clean pots in the refrigerator, and even though she couldn't remember a lot of people, my mother had a lot of pleasant days.
Yeah, yeah, did she?
You know, so I mean, yeah, before she passed on, and she wasn't particularly ill. It just kind of, it just gets to you, and down you go, you know.
Yeah.
But with my mom, it was a case of no, she couldn't remember anything. That upset us, but it didn't upset her. So all it took for her to have a good day was take her in the garden and just make sure she doesn't wander off. And she'd
sit
there,
she'd
sit there enjoying the air and the sunshine and the flowers just like anybody else, like nothing was wrong. And I would not, under any circumstances, take that away from a patient.
That's excellent.
You know? So, I mean, I think she lived a lot longer because she was at home being cared for by my dad. If she'd been in her nursing home, she'd have died.
Yeah.
She'd have died. And there's no question of that. And then my dad, when he was 93, he broke his hip and wound up in the hospital, but and then died in the hospital. But he didn't die because of the broken hip. He died of congestive heart failure. And the reason he was dying of congestive heart failure was because he absolutely hated the hospital environment and said to me, people shouldn't have to live this way. It's cruel.
Yeah, really.
It's cruel.
Yeah, it is. I wouldn't, for most people, I can't imagine going to a doctor. I just can't imagine all these meds for.
I haven't been to a doctor for not since my last child was born, and that was sort of a forced visit, but, you know, and then I was out of there in 2 days, and that was the last any doctor's office has seen of me in the last 41 years.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, and I'm walking around healthy as a horse and look a whole lot younger than my years, and I'm going, I'm thumbing my nose at people saying, oh, you think you're so smart. Look what you're filling your body with on a daily basis.
I know, it's terrible.
You know,
you can
eat junk food and get away with it if you don't follow up with a chaser of toxic drugs. Seriously, I ate junk food for years. I'm healthier now that I don't eat the junk food. But let me tell you, the junk food didn't do me nearly the damage as the pharma products would have.
Yeah.
And, of course, what this Ronald
Kavanaugh
has done, he's literally, the man's put his life on the line.
Mm-hmm.
He's literally put his life on the line here. His family and his own life were threatened. He doesn't know what's going to happen to him or to his family now. But let me tell you, now there's so many people who know that he was threatened. Anything happens to him, the first place they're going to be looking at is at the doorstep of the FDA. So if I was any member of the FDA and had any designs on Ronald Kavanaugh right now, I'd be rethinking that.
The problem is we've got the FDA, but they're kind of under the control of this international criminal cabal.
Well, now here's where it gets real interesting, and I expect we're going to have a little discussion on this point when we have Shiv Chopra on in about 15 minutes or so. But I can tell you that I was doing, as I mentioned to you before, I've been doing a lot of investigation in terms of the trade groups and how they steal our sovereignty.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the trade groups that Mr. Harper whom I call Harperius for obvious reasons, has been trying to get us involved in is the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Now, this is a trade agreement that runs between the United States and basically Southeast Asia, New Zealand, and Australia. In around there, there's a lot of countries in this trade agreement. And Harper's been trying to get us tied in, too, because the United States is in on it. However, the United States has blocked our membership and will only allow Canada to observe right now on two grounds. The first one was that they didn't like our intellectual property rules. And, gee, two weeks after I found that out, doesn't the Supreme Court come out with rulings that more closely mimic the United States' rules? How curious. The Supreme Court on orders from whom?
Yeah.
Okay. Then we have the other reason, which is our agricultural regulations, including and especially dairy products. Now, who's coming on in 15 minutes? Dr. Shiv Chopra, the guy responsible for creating the difference between American and Canadian dairy, because they allow BGH, although they have to label it, from my understanding, okay? But they allow it, whereas we don't allow it, period. And the man to thank for that is coming on in 15 minutes. So that's going to get interesting, because you see, this trade group affiliation that we've got now, that Harper wants may just not happen because the U.S. is trying to harmonize our dairy industry with theirs. Okay,
yeah.
Why? So that the big dairy companies like Land of Lakes, who is one of the key people who is supporting GMO, not anti-labeling, no labeling of GMOs. You see, the plot thickens as you go.
Mm-hmm.
It's starting to feel like cement under your spoon, isn't it?
Yeah.
And Kellogg's, and Nestle, and Jimmy Dean brand, and Hormel, and all these big brands are backing the anti-labeling group in California right now. And as goes California, so will go the United States. As goes the United States, so goes Canada. There goes all the activism against GMO, all being approved by Health Canada and the FDA against the common good.
Wow.
So, you see, this is one very thick soup right now. I mean, that spoon will stand up on its own in the middle of the stew pot. It's that thick. And when they say thick as thieves, they're not kidding. Because what you've got is you've got so much Monsanto control sitting on the in the halls of Health Canada and the FDA. You've got Pfizer people, you've got Merck people. They got a revolving door of staff between pharma and these two agencies charged with that mission statement that we read, right?
Yeah.
Not 15 minutes ago. So you see what kind of a joke it really is? And we're talking about a massive international, multinational, criminal enterprise headed up by Big Pharma. And we're talking about two whistleblowers, one being this Peter Kavanaugh, or what's his name, Ron Kavanaugh fellow, and the other being Dr. Shiv Chopra. And actually, his wife got in on that, too, okay? Because she was also a Health Canada research scientist, and she came out against breast implants, silicone breast implants.
Oh, really?
And, of course, Health Canada approved them anyway. And now I once saw, it was Dr. Oz on Oprah, so, you know, hey, mainstream, right? But it was Dr. Oz, and they were talking about implants, and that the average woman who has implants, and this was the silicone ones, had to go through 9 surgeries following the initial implantation. 9 surgeries in her lifetime.
Wow.
My daughter got them. She's had 3 already in the first year. She had 3 surgeries.
Wow.
Okay.
Terrible. Wow.
Yeah. Well, you see, we're talking about things that cause harm that are approved by agencies that are supposed to be there to protect us.
And
they
not.
Aren't.
No.
So what do we do? Well, you know, Edward Bernays, you heard that name, right? Father of propaganda, they call him internationally. The father of propaganda. Okay? And in chapter one of his book, aptly called Propaganda, and it's available online for anybody who wants to nose into it, he tells how the only weapon against propaganda is to follow the money. So what happens when we follow the money here?
Well, we seem to go from our big governments into the pharmaceutical companies and
vice versa. Okay, you've got a revolving door. Let's explain the revolving door. Okay, what happens is Big Pharma funds all this research, all of which is, as Ron Kavanaugh exposed, statistically manipulated to reflect safety features of drugs that do not exist, specifically structured to minimize, erase, eliminate any contraindication that can possibly be contraindicated. Okay? They will wait until people start dropping dead before the FDA or Health Canada will step in and say, you're going to put a black box warning on that drug. Well, in the meantime, what's happening? Well, because the FDA comes out with a black box warning on a drug, don't they look like they're fulfilling their mandate? Oh, yes, they do. But what's really going on is that they're actually covering their own butt because they were the idiots who approved the crap in the first place.
Yeah.
They were the ones who let it happen. So blithely, they do this neat little two-step. Right? Point the finger back at the drug. Don't take any action against the drug manufacturer who has by then bribed any number of colleges, any number of studies, any number of doctors, any number of healthcare professionals into promoting their ding blasted drug. And then they release it on the population. Now, how many deaths occurred because of Vioxx? How many deaths have occurred because of Avandia? How many deaths have occurred worldwide because of Gardasil vaccines? How many deaths occur normally by the flu shot, by the flu, normal flu, regular flu? You know how many Canadians it kills every year, Christopher? It's just under 4,000.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Okay. Now, in all of the so-called flu epidemics that we've ever had in this country, okay, unless maybe you go back to 1918 and Canada wasn't much affected by the Spanish flu, okay, you know, you've got more deaths from the normal flu than anything they've ever said, you got to get your flu shot.
Yeah.
About.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay? It's average, it's normal for people to die of the flu. They die of the flu all the time, but they fail to tell you. So they manipulate the information. And then they tell people, get your flu shot, you won't get sick. Well, for 3 weeks after that, you're contagious. And whether you get sick or not, you're infecting people everywhere you go, shedding live virus onto everyone you touch and breathe on.
Yeah.
Okay, so what are they doing? They're creating flu season. And what does that do? It says, look, Health Canada is protecting us. They're giving us free flu shots.
And then all the hospitals get in the residual patients a couple of days after their shots for all their different complaints and problems.
Yeah. You got it. And in the meantime, who's directing all this traffic is the very agency that has nothing to do constitutionally with health care in this country. And as the FDA has nothing to do constitutionally with health care in the United States, the provinces and the states have medical control. So why is it that these agencies even exist except as advisory agencies, which rightfully would be able to point out, you know, if there's a problem. But they have no power under constitutional law to regulate squat. And in fact, both agencies are practicing medicine without a license.
I mean, it all ties back into the power brokers that run our society. I mean, it all ties back into these people and how they've affected what they've done. I mean, you just see everyone everywhere, like teenagers, so many of them are on Ritalin and other drugs. And
oh, yeah, Ritalin, which is basically, it's like molecules away from methadrine. It's pure speed.
Yeah.
You know, you're talking about feeding your kid amphetamines to slow him down.
Yeah, and then other children have respiratory problems and autism
steroids.
In the States is just terrible. Like it's like these agencies need to be arrested.
And here's one in the medical devices area.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because there's massive fraud there too. If you've got a kid who has eyesight problems, okay, that are not surgically correctable and don't require surgery, you know, how many kids do you see these days wearing glasses?
A lot
more than you or I saw when we were kids. Because back then, you were the odd kid out if you had glasses and people called you four eyes.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Okay. Now, all of a sudden, you see, like, two-year-olds walking around with glasses on. What the fuck is going on? You know, well, interestingly enough, it is well proven that vision deficiencies, the vast majority of them, are completely correctable without any surgery, without any glasses. And, in fact, the effect of wearing glasses on your eyes is equivalent to giving yourself an enema every day, whether you needed it or not, and basically disempowering your bowels.
And this is disempowering your eyes to have...
Your eye muscles, yes.
To have glasses or contact.
Yeah. So, I mean, it may be one thing to grab some glasses if you need immediate help. Okay, because your vision's gotten bad. It may be okay to do that temporarily. But in the meantime, there are methods out there, dozens of them, that are all effective in terms of restoring your vision, providing it's not something like a cataract. That's not obviously going to get corrected by exercise. But if it's not a surgical condition where something has gone horribly wrong, your basic long and nearsighted and farsightedness, generally, forget LASIK. You can do it by exercise. So why not do it? Well, because there's no money in it. And, of course, I've been saying for a long time, the motto of the pharmaceutical industry is a patient cured is a customer lost. And in order to keep all them pharma dollars coming, who's been basically kissing butt to pharma? Well, every health agency in the world has been kissing butt to pharma because essentially pharma has supplied monetarily, okay, all of the avenues of research, all of the avenues of innovation, all of the avenues of innovation in terms of what comes out and what they market, what they bring to market. They've controlled it all financially. They've done it with their donations, with their financial support of research.
Your guest is on line two.
And, you know, I mean, if people think that the FDA is the only place where this happens, well, boy, do we have, who's just joining us now, we have one of Canada's great, great heroes. We have with us now Dr. Shiv Chopra in from Ottawa, and Dr. Chopra is the one, as I mentioned earlier, who, with his team, saved our Canadian dairy industry from the horrors of bovine growth hormone, and now that's under threat. Welcome, Dr. Shiv Chopra. Namaste, my friend.
Thank you.
Well, we know, Shiv, that you wrote a wonderful book. wonderful to activists, wonderful for people who want to know the truth, not so wonderful for Health Canada. But the book is called Corrupt to the Core, Memoirs of a Health Canada Whistleblower. And we've just been discussing for the last 45 minutes how corrupt the FDA is, how corrupt they are in common with Health Canada. And we've been alluding to the fact of your battle with Health Canada all through the first 45 minutes. And now I am so looking forward to hearing you tell your own story. I'm so looking forward to this.
Thank you. Well, you know, the story is all well described in the book. Perhaps Health Canada considers the book to be their nemesis because I put down all the proof. This is not just hearsay. This is not my opinion. Because in the book, it's a reference book, I documented everything that went on, the memos, the Senate committee hearings, the exchanges with the FDA, all those things that happened in Health Canada in my career there for 35 years as senior scientific advisor. The first half of that period, I used to work as a senior scientific advisor expert on vaccines and antibiotics for human use. And in the latter half, starting in 1988, I transferred to the Bureau of Veterinary Drugs because I happened to be a veterinarian also. And that was the only way ever to get some kind of increase in my pay working at Health Canada all these years. And so I was, my wife worked at Health Canada for medical devices. She was the very first person anywhere, at least in Canada, to take issue with the silicone breast implant. And what happened to her and her colleagues in the medical devices is quite a telling story. That's all described in the book, what happened. And so they removed her, they removed her bosses, they removed the whole shebang from there.
Wow.
Just to cover up the silicone breast implant. And they were telling her to quietly approve it because the man who wanted to sell it, the silicone breast implant, was, they said he's just importing it from the FDA, from the U.S., and the FDA has already approved it. And this person in Canada happens to be a fundraiser for Prime Minister Mulroney. So imagine how far it goes. And in my own early time, very early, in the early 70s, I came to Health Canada in 69. At that time, as an expert on vaccines, which is what they hired me for, to evaluate newer vaccines like rubella and mumps and some versions of measles and some other vaccines. And I expressed my concerns at that time about these vaccines because the dangers, potential dangers, I had no proof, but the potential danger was that these vaccines were grown in kidneys taken from live wild monkeys caught in the wild. Wow. Imported from India, imported from Indonesia, and so on and so forth. And so my concern was these monkeys could be carrying viruses that we cannot detect in our any laboratory tests available. And if some viruses go through, they might cause cancer, they might cause... We already had precedents because with polio vaccine, such a virus had gone through back with the Salk vaccine. So, you know, those kinds of concerns, and yet, talking about the U.S. FDA, they people from Merck came, and they were literally yelling at the meeting in front of my bosses, basically yelling at them, do you people want it or not? We have approved it in the U.S. And so, you know, Canada is just a, no matter how much independent we think we are of the U.S., we're just a sidekick. When they order, we must comply or else. So that those vaccines were approved. And then later on, the man, Dr. Hillman, you can watch him. He's now dead. He's now, you can watch him on YouTube admitting that they caused, with their vaccine, HIV. Okay. All it took was one accident. And then all the others, dirty needles, homosexuality, all those things. That disease did never exist before in humans. Where did it come from? And that's where it came from. And it has killed millions of people, still killing. Then there were these antibiotics. And the same story again and again. The best antibiotics already had been discovered, starting with penicillin, and by the end of, about 1960, all these things were done, and yet they kept on putting them out, second generation, third generation, the newer, and so on. And in fact, they were worse than what had already been discovered, but each time they got approval, they would make them first-line antibiotics, and they kept on pushing that way.
So
the second
words,
part that they did was that they used the same antibiotics, very large amounts, to fatten cattle and pigs and chickens and turkeys and so on.
So in other words, having found a money chain, they kept reinventing the wheel to make it fit the current time.
Well, you know, it's not really reinventing. It's deliberately done to cause disease so that they can come back and say, oh, now I have a cure for it. So over these years, we created a humongous amount of chronic disease in children, and then they were using hormones for food production. BGH was just one example we managed to stop in Canada, but it's still approved in the U.S. So we may have stopped it in fresh milk. But the milk and products, cheese and ice cream and all those kinds of things, or dry powder milk and so forth, they're not banned. They're imported from the States.
Uh-huh.
So it still contains RBGH, and nobody is stopping that, because Canada should have banned it, but they didn't ban it. They said, we're not approving it. That means, okay, fresh milk wasn't really imported into Canada anyway, but it wouldn't stop the dry milk products.
Well, that's why they're getting rid of the marketing boards, isn't it?
Well, you know, people don't know these things.
Exactly.
And this went on, and now we have these superbugs emerging in hospitals, killing people, and there are no antibiotics left to treat.
Yeah,
hormones
cause
cancer.
I read a little while back that about 70% of medical staff are now infected with MRSA and EDTL, and that you absolutely have almost no chance of coming out of there without some kind of new bug that you didn't have when you went in.
Well, this is the thing. You see, the medical profession, veterinary profession, the dental profession, they've all become part of the corruption. And big governments are part of the corruption. They're all catering to these drug companies. And so therefore, you know, people talk about corruption in the banks and so forth. Sure, that's there. But the biggest corruption that will drive countries to bankruptcy are these drug companies, device companies, and so on.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah,
you know, there is no, everybody, and people say, oh, we want more healthcare, we want more healthcare, spend more, and the companies love it both ways. Rich people can buy their private insurance, poor people, government pays, and the companies don't care. Either way, they make money.
Mm-hmm.
So FDA is very much part of it. We've got Madgar disease. We've got in our food supply, we've got hormones being used in animals. We've got antibiotics. We've got genetically modified organisms. We've got pesticides. And I call them the five pillars of food safety. None of these things, and the slaughterhouse waste causing mad cow, and none of these things should be in our food supply. Because if you remove those five, automatically all food becomes organic. You don't need to certify it to be organic. And why is it organic food coming from California? Why is it that in Canada, there are no jobs left, agriculture is dying, the farmers have become old, they cannot sustain. Average age of a farmer here is 60 years and older. So where are we headed? That's the situation. That's the book that I describe in Health Canada. And in fact, my complaint is still in two separate federal courts. And this, on the whistleblowing part, the complaint has been sitting there for 10, 12 years. It was dismissed. I took it to federal court. We won. The federal court ordered the Public Service Integrity Office to do it again. And then they closed down that office. They turned that same office into a commission that you may have read or heard that the integrity commissioner had no integrity. And Harper government paid her $500,000 just to keep quiet. And she closed my file. And that file is, I'm back in federal court. And, you know, lo and behold, they are saying, oh, Shiv Chopra has written this book. He's fundamentally opposed to these things. Well, I'm not fundamentally opposed to these things. I'm opposed to it because fundamentals of science tell me that what's happening to our food supply is wrong.
Exactly.
And the Privy Council is part of that corruption because the orders are coming from that level. And it's not just the Harper government. It's the previous Prime Minister. Martin was, I mean, it was during his time that I was fired in 2004. And so it's just a horrible mess that the population, this wonderful country of ours, is in because of corruption. So
exactly.
It's not just the U.S. FDA. We're only being used as a stepping stone to say, oh, Canada has approved it. Maybe now we can do the same policy.
Yeah, and of course, they're even jumping those hurdles now with the trade agreements. And I think you and I have discussed this a couple of years ago even, that, you know, with the trade agreements that we're signing, we become obligated to govern all our legislation according to what the trade agreement says.
But you know that is that itself is illegal because trade agreement are only done it's only done by policy. No trade agreement, no agreement between countries can override the laws of the nation.
Yeah, well,
all
we need
the
to
laws
tell that to Harper,
that,
don't we? Because
it cannot override the Food and Drugs Act. It comes under the criminal code. Anybody lies, falsifies, they go to jail.
Yeah, well, but we'd like to try and enforce that. But the problem is that now you've got a clause, like, for instance, in the clause in C-36, the
no bill can... See, that's something that people don't understand because the courts frustrate them. All laws under the Constitution... All laws of Canada are written under one law. It's called the Financial Administration Act. All statutes must report, and all losses and all gains are measured under that law, which they don't do. And then they go say, they were telling me in my, days before I was fired, these Americans, consultants and former FDA officials were brought in, and they're telling me pass this drug called Baytril for cattle. First they were saying pass it for chickens. And I'm saying, this drug, is the parent drug to ciprofloxacin, and if resistance develops to it, and we know it has developed, and it will kill people. because now there's no antibiotic left, and the WHO says don't do it, the whole world's, and the Europeans have banned it, and they're telling me that in the U.S., they've made by a policy that 1 in 1 million people can be allowed to die to make profit. And so, therefore, I should comply with that policy. So I said, not with my pen, knowingly, I will not sign. You can do it. You can do it over my head, but I will not sign knowingly that 1 in 1 million people will die as a result of my signature. You can do what you want. I am not going to sign that piece of paper. And that was that was the straw that broke the camel's back. That's when I was fired.
Yeah, that's one very large camel, too.
You know, and that is the report that I wrote. It's called Roadblocks to Human Safety of Baitrol. And that is the report. It's a huge report that the court that should have been examined by the Integrity Commission, and they have ignored it, and that's now before the federal court. Who knows? They may reject it. Who knows? It may take 10 years, but meanwhile, lives would be lost. And they don't care.
No, we know they don't care. We know they don't care. And, you know, we had a recent example of that, didn't we, with the much promoted and recommended flu shot for the so-called pandemic that never happened.
Absolutely. And I mean, it's not. Look, even there, that the president of the United States, Obama, stood up and said he is passing a national emergency because they're expecting a pandemic. That bloody pandemic never came.
Yeah.
and people died, and it's written on the thing that you can get Guillain-Barré syndrome, you can be paralyzed for life, you can die from it, 1 in 10,000. It's written on the label of Glaxo Company, and Glaxo Company says, we didn't do it, Health Canada ordered us to do it. Mm-hmm. We made a special, this is a special request vaccine ordered by Health Canada. So they're not responsible. And the U.S. passed legislation that if children get autism, children get cancer, children get diabetes, vaccines are acting like cluster bombs in the bodies of children. Mm-hmm. And they explode inside. And because they are all foreign proteins, foreign substances, foreign fats, foreign viruses, and when you give an injection of it, it explodes in the body and it goes and hits every part of the body. So whatever comes in the way gets knocked out, and then you get the symptoms.
Uh-huh.
And you get... I've got these things on my website. On my website, I even say that anybody, experts, don't agree with me, I'm willing to publicly debate with whoever wants to debate. If I'm wrong, correct me. And then there are people like Bill Gates. Here's this man. He's put $18 billion of so-called charity to promote vaccines all over the world, in Africa, in India, and they're giving polio, which is not allowed, polio vaccine, oral polio vaccine, which is not allowed to be given here. They're giving it in India, and last year, and this is now, 47,000 children per year are getting paralyzed from polio vaccine.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, that just came out a little while ago, and I know that you're very heavily involved with what's going on over in India. And,
yep.
You know, things in India are not terribly familiar to Canadians, but I tell you, I look at some of the posts that come from your own online group, and you can't tell the difference. It's like, okay, the way they speak is a little different, and their money's different, and... you know, their government officials' titles are different, But ultimately, it's the same story everywhere. It's government
same
by Monsanto.
Story. Same corruption. Indian government is corrupt. Indian medical profession is corrupt. The same way as here. It's all money-driven now. Everywhere in the world. There are
the whole thing is a make-work project for somebody. And you wonder where the money actually stops as it filters up because, you know, you mentioned bankers earlier. And, well, who was behind financing all this in the first place?
Yep. Exactly.
You know, these,
I mean,
if
you've got the richest man on earth and he's got his wife attached to him and then they hire actors and celebrities to promote, that's happening.
It's happening
that kind
everywhere.
Of corruption that we're in.
And the worst part of it is, and I don't, you know, sometimes it boggles my mind. I mean, you and I have been somewhat in different parts of the same kind of activity for a number of years, fighting what's wrong with health care. And essentially, what boggles my mind is the level of trust placed in these fools by people who really ought to know better and just how very, very hard it is to crack that trust and let a little truth shine in.
You know, the worst people are the so-called educated, well-to-do middle class.
Well, yeah, because
they love to have
education.
Drugs. And they love to say, oh, they're going to save my life. And whether they're putting stents in you and then that some are drug-coated and some without. And you read, go Google and see stents and you see how many stents are actually killing people.
Uh-huh.
And people don't know. And the radiation and all that cancer treatments are killing people before they would die of cancer. I just lost some friends. I mean, it's just a horrible thing. You know, they bring people in, and then we are contributing to cancer society, or you go and raise money for Heart Foundation and this foundation. This is all part of the corruption, and unwittingly we're part of it.
I'm looking at it, you know, whenever they say the war on cancer, right, the first thing I think of is it is now exposed to be exactly like the war on terror. Exactly. Where are the terrorists? Well, the cancer is coming from where? From what? You know, before the chemical era, before these guys took over, before the cartels got their hands on things, cancer was pretty rare, wasn't it?
Of course, all these diseases, you see, cancer was always there, diabetes was always there, allergies were there, and Alzheimer's, all these. But those are rare diseases. Those are genetic diseases. Those are fixed-rate diseases. Why have they increased in the last 50 years?
Well, because there's a war on, don't you know?
Right? Because if it's a genetic disease, it cannot increase.
Exactly.
There is a fixed rate. Fixed by God.
Sorry, go ahead.
But these are legitimate questions that people are now... don't even ask. It's gone into our heads through the medical profession and the governments as though we're going to live forever. That's not true. People have to die. Now, if money could buy health, the richest country on earth and the one that is spending the most on health care is the United States. Americans' life expectancy is lower than Canada.
Yes.
Canadian is lower than British.
Yes.
Cuba is ahead of all of them. And then
isn't America
if you,
like 28th out of first world
and
nations?
And Japan has the longest. I often say this in my lectures because I'm saying, go to the Bible when God said to Noah, this is corruption, because no man's life shall last more than 120 years. So that was true then, whenever Genesis was written. That is true today. nobody lives more than 120 years, maybe give or take 1 or 2 years. Okay, the longest a woman recorded history, a French woman, lived 121 years. And if you most, so therefore, I say human life is 80 plus and minus 40. Okay. Nowadays, everybody can expect to live to 80. Even in the poorest countries, if you clean up the water, they will actually be healthier than anywhere else. Okay. Rural people are healthier than those living in the cities.
Of course they are. And,
right? So, because they exercise, they go produce their own food, then they walk, they do things, and the city people just couch potatoes, sit and mope and watch TV and drink pop.
Yeah, and then take all their medications before bed and in the morning before breakfast.
Yeah, and it's not even pop anymore. Now it's energy drinks. Now that means the whole energy has been, so vitamins and sugar and this caffeine, that's called this energy drink, and kids are drinking it.
Yeah.
And then they eat this junk food. All our food is, you know, I had some visitors, and there were kids, and my wife said, oh, kids love cereal, maybe you should go. I hadn't bought cereal in years. I didn't know what to buy. I walked around. They're all full of sugar and bran and so on, and $6 or $7 a little box. I said, what's wrong with making porridge? It only costs 2 cents. That's what people used to eat.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Uh-huh.
So, but we've just fallen into this permanent trap. Dentists saying, oh, to remove, to reduce cavities, we need fluoride in the water. So government says, yep, it's put no proof that it did anything. It was only because during those years, aluminum industry became very big, and the fluoride was coming out, and it was actually damaging bones. To hide that, they put fluoride in the water so you won't know where it came from. And it's still there. So our water is fluoridated, our water is chlorinated, our salt is iodinated, we have vitamin D added to milk, and the same thing for flour, B12 added to milk, iron added to milk. For God's sake, how did people live before?
That's exactly it. How come we're less healthy now with all this help to our health?
Yeah.
This so-called progress, this so-called innovation, when all that they're doing is synthesizing what we used to get from proper food in the first place.
That's right. Do camels go jogging? Do birds eat vitamin pills?
No.
Do they take supplements? There is none of this damn thing happening in nature.
I know a few people I'd call camels who go jogging, but they aren't camels.
So, that's what's happening. I mean, the cow now, here was the most wonderful, most beautiful animal that took nothing. When it got domesticated, they realized 6,000-7,000 years ago, back in the Indus Valley civilization, some mothers must have noticed that this is a gentle animal. Maybe if I'm good to her, I'll steal some milk for my baby.
Mm-hmm.
That's how the cow was domesticated.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest of the industry, whether it's yogurt or we call them probiotics nowadays.
Uh-huh.
But it's yogurt. That's what people should be eating.
Yeah,
it's healthier than milk.
Yeah, organic yogurt is wonderful.
Probiotics. You know, these become alternative industries, probiotics.
Well, yeah.
Everybody's now got the probiotic label.
And notice, too, that they do it on a word. They take a new word. They coin a new word or a new phrase, and then
That's right.
They propagandize that word, and all of a sudden people don't think about yogurt anymore. They think about probiotics.
You know, there are natural substances. For example, In the food, Indian staple food and everything, curries, the most important ingredient is turmeric.
Yes.
Now suddenly science says, oh, turmeric is anti-cancer. Add that to it, so we'll sell you capsules of turmeric. They even try to patent it. or we'll make rice which has vitamin A. It'll be GMO. But what's wrong with eating carrots? And then they say, oh, carrots are, eat carrots, and we won't even let you have carrots. So they sell you these baby carrots. They take the old big carrots and machine them into little things. They wash them, and then they put this in slimy plastic bags. And those are not carrots. They're junk.
Yeah.
Dangerous junk.
Yeah, I won't touch them. I learned that one a while back. There's a lot of stuff. If you know what you're doing, if you have any clue what's going on in food production, there are a number of aisles and a number of bins in grocery stores you won't go anywhere near. And what is I think the figure on processed food right now is like in your grocery store, anything that's packaged and processed is 90% likely to have GMOs in it.
Oh, GMOs, the other five things I mentioned, it's not GMOs.
Exactly.
You've got, prions in them. You've got hormones in them. You've got antibiotics in them. You've got pesticides in them. No matter where you look, you've got these five substances.
Yeah.
And, in my younger days, mothers, if the carrot had a worm on it or some mold on it, so they would cut that off and peel the rest of the carrot. It was perfectly good.
Mm-hmm.
And now people are getting salmonellosis or E. coli infections from eating salad. Because it comes from California, pre-washed and put in plastic bags, and people don't even wash it. They just pre-cut, and people have become so lazy. Nobody wants to wash or cut a piece of broccoli. They bring it straight to the table, and some of them then die.
Uh huh.
Because it comes from filthy water.
How they do it. I mean, you start cutting a plant stem, and we know plant stems are like a bunch of tiny straws all put together in a tube. And what do they do? Well, don't you suck up things with straws? And the plants, whatever you expose them to, whatever phage you might spray them with, whatever anti-rot chemical you might spray them with, that chemical...
Well, that's what they're doing to the so-called organic food coming from far distances.
I know. It was organic until they packed it.
Yep, and then they put they inject ammonia into meats to make it look red. If it went green, you might have thrown it away. Now you don't know.
You can't tell, because it'll sit there. It'll be a long time before that meat goes green in your fridge, but it was toxic last week.
That's right. So that's, wherever you turn, it's the same thing happening everywhere.
Yeah, and then, the thing that gets me about everything that you've been saying, there's one question that hangs in the air, why? And there's only one answer,
money.
Isn't there?
Money, right? Money. The only thing is money. If they, all these this wealth that people now have, it was all created in the last 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
That money didn't exist before.
It still doesn't if you're technical about it, because it's all created by debt and it's all digital. But, they're even faking the money now.
Exactly. And this money, if you go to some of these places, there are villas, there are boats, there are all cars. And people, those who get the money, they never enjoy it. They never even visit there.
Exactly.
It just sits there. It's not a question of saying, the poor people, the pleasure is not in having money, but denying it to the poor to be able to eat and feed their children. That's the pleasure.
Yeah, well, what other pleasure could they be? They can't be in all these houses at once. They can't be on all these boats at once. They can't go all
you
these
go to
places
Boston,
at once.
You go to San Diego, there are villas and villas and villas. And people, they tell you the owner has never come there. but they keep on pumping in water to grow grass in San Diego in the desert.
Uh-huh.
And the villas are empty.
Uh-huh.
So, Dr. Chopra, what do you see is behind the whole thing? Do you think there's a UN Agenda 21 that they want to reduce the world's population and they're spreading these illnesses through these methods?
That also, I mean, it's not just the UN. I mean, these are people like Bill Gates openly say on television mm-hmm. that he would like to reduce 20% of the world's population, and so they want to make a vaccine. So if a man like that speaks that way, my response to that, why doesn't he commit suicide so there'll be one less evil?
I agree.
Yeah, and then there's Philip, who said he wanted to reincarnate as a virus with a high kill rate.
Yeah, he's a geek. And he calls people yeah. like me as child killers because I say don't take any vaccines. And so he's the one who's going around and calling people like me expert scientists as child killers.
Okay? Uh-huh.
Because we, I'm saying, why doesn't he come and debate with me at CNN? Okay. But CNN won't do it because they're part of the corruption.
Of course they are.
I mean, I don't mean CNN by itself, but the whole media, Murdoch and whoever, they're all part of it.
Yeah.
It's evolved since World War II.
Yes, and then you have Rockefeller coming out at the press club in New York and thanking the media for being complicit in their crimes and saying, we couldn't have done it without you.
That's right. So, which is true. But you see, the point is there's no point discussing the conspiracy, who is doing what and for what purpose. My own response to it is we, the people, can do things without asking the government to do it for us, because the government is not going to. They even laugh. They enjoy such complaints by people. They might put you in jail. They do whatever they want. But there is a solution, and the solution has to be very simple. I'm saying, I sent some pictures to Dee earlier.
Yes, wonderful pictures.
Last few years, I've been experimenting on my property on how to grow food without any, with least amount of water and absolutely no chemicals. What I did was I went around and I brought old window frames. Actually, they came from my own house. I lay them down, I put filter cloth underneath, then I fill them up with soil, and at my property I have four apple trees. I don't eat them, they just fall down because I don't spray or anything. Then I collect them all and I put them into compost, and I use that compost, and I tell you, this was the driest summer, they say, in the last 800 years.
Mm-hmm.
And but my little garden is an oasis. Beautiful vegetables, large vegetables, very little water, and because in the window frame the water doesn't run out, and the rich food there, and there are no weeds in there. There's nothing there, and I can walk on the window frames and just enjoy myself. So if everybody did that, that takes care of the food, then automatically all this extra nonsense, it will not be there because it's on my property.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Well, there was a rather important victory. It seems small to look at it, but in Drummondville, Quebec, last
yep.
week, there was a family growing their own vegetables, a beautiful garden, stunningly
yep.
beautiful vegetable garden, in their front yard.
Yep.
And the city, although they had given permission, they wanted it uprooted and destroyed by September 1st.
That's
well,
right.
Well, the story went viral. And as
yeah,
a result of,
course.
Of, the, as a result of that, Drummondville is now doing what every city should do, which is exactly the same kind of thing you're promoting throughout India and across the country, that people be assisted in growing their food in their gardens.
Oh, really?
Not only that, this is one aspect, that's a success story. Then they are also saying that you cannot collect rainwater.
Uh-huh.
This is government property. You cannot collect rainwater on your own property. You cannot use your own property more than a certain percentage for gardening. And who are these people?
Well, we voted for them, apparently.
I don't think we did.
Voting doesn't help because the next guy is going to be just as corrupt.
In Quebec,
where I, Drummondville, I was a couple of years ago, I invited to give a talk, and I'm saying the province of Quebec should declare food sovereignty. Forget the language part. And say, the hell with Health Canada, we're going to take care of ourselves. They'll create jobs, they'll create the best food. The rest of Canada will have to copy them.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
There are simple things.
Yeah. Well, it's what you're talking about, essentially. I mean, I was talking to some younger people over last weekend.
Yep.
And, they're all dutied up in the latest fashions and carrying the iPads and the iPhones and all that kind of stuff.
That's right.
And, I would say a couple of things, and they go, what's that?
Exactly.
And they didn't know the least basics about living in any way naturally as we did even 50 years ago. And as you know, Shiv, even 50 years ago, things were not all that bright in terms of processed foods, but
right.
Our parents knew that.
Well, one of the things that I'm promoting and having a hard time, this is why I did my garden as an experimental demonstration garden. I think the food, all education, from primary school to end of secondary school, should be given around growing food in school playgrounds, which become living laboratories. These are playgrounds, large pieces of land on which nobody plays.
Mm-hmm.
And if those became part of the required curriculum, everybody will be healthier. Nobody will ever starve. We won't need to import food, and food will be taken out of the economic equation. That's what's needed. This is what, when I was a kid in India, Mahatma Gandhi was fighting for independence. That was his solution, but they killed him too soon.
It's good that he has a follower who's continuing the routine. Here's the thing, though. It's one of those things, just like the Drummondville thing. It might have remained silent, except for how things, are starting to tick people off and how very quickly they can information technology and get the word out. And we outnumber these controllers who are killing us.
Absolutely.
We outnumber them hugely. So why are we, who have the power of numbers and the power of the largest voice and the power to get rid of them all because they wouldn't exist unless we paid them?
That's right.
No product is going to survive if we don't buy it.
Yep.
We
have to enable ourselves, and that is why I say it has to be at the local level, municipal level, school level,
people
demanding that this be made part of the curriculum.
And, of course, we have so much fertile land that's just wasted by parks that nobody ever walks in and, school grounds, as you say, that, they may use a third of it for a baseball diamond and another third of it for a football field, but then they've got this massive area of parkland. Why not grow food? Why not?
Right, in schools, every subject should be taught around growing food on school playgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
And that way, automatically, the whole community will get involved, but it has to be made compulsory, and that, therefore, becomes a local initiative. You know, I mean, so there is no other country like Canada.
Yeah,
it's the most
yeah.
wonderful country, and it can lead the whole world. But we cut off our hands by voting.
Exactly.
Anybody.
Exactly. I mean, we're basically all we're doing is filling a chair in
yep.
in a government that does not listen to people. They don't work for us. You know, why are we even paying them? I mean, it's beyond me why we even pay these guys. They've made themselves irrelevant with all these
yep.
illegal agreements they've signed. They can't do anything for us, even if they want to. Now
yep.
I'm hearing, and I'm grateful to be able to hear it, that there's a little bit of a rebellion going on up on Parliament Hill, because a whole
yep.
bunch of people are sick and tired of the Harperian dictatorship. And unfortunately, the thing that gets me is these people are still in favor of maintaining the system. They just don't like Harper.
Well, of course.
And, of course, it's
well,
not just Harper.
It's Harper,
Harper.
If Harper goes, it'll be somebody else.
Exactly.
But the brand doesn't change.
Exactly. I mean, the only way out of these international controls that are bringing in even worse guidelines, and, of course, we watch the laws getting made here.
Yep.
Right, and essentially what they're doing is they're harmonizing the laws before the harmonization takes place so that we can't exactly complain about laws we've already got.
No, no, because they're sitting inside the government. And
that's right.
This guy, Taylor, the FDA, the food safety czar, he's in and out, and he is actually a Monsanto agent. He used to be a vice president. He's a lawyer, goes in back and forth. He is the guy that Obama has appointed as a food safety czar. So there's nothing you can do.
And then you got Vilsack. And Vilsack.
Yep, they're all, exactly.
Too.
They're all the same.
Yeah,
Health Canada
same.
Is exactly that. Our minister, whoever, I mean, they jump when the industry tells them. I mean, the whole reason my case is still in front of the courts. They're saying, you know, even if Shiv Chopra wins, pay him money, but he shouldn't be sent back. People
mm-hmm.
follow him.
Mm-hmm. Well, the bottom line, as far as I'm concerned, is every victory that we've seen over the last while, and people have had little victories here and there.
Yeah.
Every single one of them has depended on one thing and one thing only, and that is informed people speaking out.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, your story today is sort of a follow-up. You tell me of what's happening at the FDA. But Health Canada was the precursor to it. It happened here.
Exactly.
I've been at it for more than 40
exactly.
years.
Exactly, which is exactly why I wanted to bring you on, because we've all heard the FDA story and we're saying, oh, thank God we live in Canada. I'm going, wait a minute.
No.
You have no clue. Let me have Shiv come on and tell you what's what. And that was exactly why I contacted you and said, please come on the show, because this is so important that people understand there is no border when it comes to the corruption. There is no border.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's no question of that. I mean, I think you amply proved that in the book, for starters. I mean, it was just like, holy, every page I turned when I was reading the book, every page I turned, there was something else to go, oh, my God, about.
Wow.
Well, I couldn't have, they would have jailed me or made me bankrupt if I didn't write the book with proof.
Well, this is
that's
it.
Why
this
they can't
it.
Get back at me.
Yeah, and this is what I was saying earlier. Like Ronald Kavanaugh from the FDA, who just whistle blew on the corruption down there,
mm-hmm.
was saying that managers from the FDA threatened his life and that of his family. And I'm going, well, the only thing he can do is go public.
Yep.
You know, because once it's public, anything happens to him, everybody goes, wait a minute, FDA.
Absolutely.
Right.
Whistleblowing
so,
has to be done from rooftops and in the city
yes.
streets.
And I think it's getting to the point now where we, the people, also have to start to venerate and protect our whistleblowers, because I'll tell you, I've been a little bit of a whistleblower myself, and the fear that can hit you
yeah.
from the things that you expose is unbelievable, even at the level I work at. And
yes.
I can't imagine what kind of heart of courage it must have taken for you and your beautiful wife.
Well, you don't think about that. Once you are a whistleblower, the moment they even smell that you're going to be, then you're riding a tiger.
Yeah.
Then you better hold on to his tail pretty tight.
Yeah.
And
Big time.
You know?
Because it can get very, very scary. And what people, I think, need to realize, it's these people who know the truth, who are being forced to obscure the truth, and can no longer do it, are the salvation of the truth. And if they can be brought forward and protected by the rest of us, there is no recourse for Big Pharma or anyone else to come after them if we protect them.
That's right.
They won't. Canada won't.
They would rather go to Syria and Libya and Egypt and say, oh, you know, we are great liberators of those people. And at home, they're persecuting and prosecuting people, putting them in jail and harming them.
We're all seeing the brand of liberty they've brought to Libya and the brand of liberty they've brought to Iraq and Afghanistan and everywhere else they've stuck their nose in illegally over the last decade or so. I mean, it's getting very, very horrendous. How many people now know we shouldn't, any of us, be doing any of this? That Canada's reputation has gone from protector and peacekeeper to war criminal. And this is, you know, this is horrendous to me. But then when I see the war that they're conducting against us.
Our own people.
Yep. And I see seniors being locked up in institutions that lock them into a system that is designed to kill them, and children being abducted from their families and being fed drugs, and nobody has any say over them. Now the state owns them, and the state gives them what the state approves. So every time you turn around, the measure of people who actually have some degree of freedom is getting squeezed from both ends. You're either too old to be free, or you're too young to be free. It's only the people in the middle who have any voice at all, and they're not using it.
Well, you're doing some service with this radio talk. I don't know how many people listen, but this too is a new mechanism, helpful mechanism, that the people, there's the internet available and so forth. So do people access these things?
Yes.
So I mean that also frightens them. Because there is discussion among people, and so that's a good job you're doing.
Well, we try and get the archives out to as many people as we can, and of course, people who have websites who are our guests can take the archives and post them on their own sites. All of this networking that we're doing is helpful. We know it's helpful, and we want to continue doing it.
Put it on Facebook, whatever, send links.
Whatever works. And we're starting to get resourceful more so because there is no money in the freedom side of things. There is only truth and human voice. And the more we use those two elements, you know, the more progress we make. Then again, you know, we're still facing a daunting task. I mean, we're a dinghy facing a battleship.
Yep.
And that's essentially, that's pretty scary. It's a David and Goliath type scenario. But you know what? You put a hole in a battleship, it goes down like a small boat.
Anyway,
it's a pleasure talking to you people. And anytime you want to access me, you know where to get me to go to a meeting now. If it's okay for now, or do you have any other questions?
Well, I just have one question. I was wondering what you thought of chemtrails.
Well, it's the same process.
Mm-hmm.
You know, wherever you go, I mean, these are terms people use to draw attention to harm being done. So all this chemistry business began at the beginning of the 20th century out of Germany.
Oh.
And if you look at the names of drug companies, they're all German names, Merck, Bayer, and Herxt, and Pfizer, and all the companies. Okay. And the only company that is not originally German is Monsanto. Monsanto stole the Bayer's formula for aspirin, and he was an Irishman, and the name Monsanto is apparently the maiden name of that man's wife.
Yeah, and interesting
so now,
you translated it, it says my help.
So this chemistry business has led, I mean, this itself is a subject to talk about, that, you know, when they started to work on chemistry, just like nowadays they're working on genetics, they at that time were going to map everything in existence, in plants, people, and whatever, that they're basically everything is made up of some chemicals. So therefore, let's break down the human body and then say, what do they eat? Then you break down the what they eat. Then you say, okay, we will now reconstruct the human body with the reconstructed food, which is what we've been eating. And that's where it is now. And then if that's not enough, now say that that's not, now we got to go to the next step. So we will now attach chemicals to seeds. So those chemicals now, pesticides, no GMO can work without having a pesticide. Otherwise, it's a weak organism. So you attach chemicals to it. And wherever, there's a trail behind all this. If you eat fish, then there are chemicals in it. If they are genetically modified or are artificially raised in BC, for example, in cages, then they put chemicals on top of them because those concentrated living creates brings sea lice on them. So to kill the sea lice inside the ocean, they put chemicals in the ocean itself. That kills all the plankton and other life underneath. And so therefore, that's what's depleting the fish stocks. And then that brings in other normally controllable diseases like viral diseases. I mean, it comes out in the press every now and then, but that's how it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't sure if you meant chemtrails like being sprayed from the sky.
That's exactly, I think.
I'm saying wherever you go,
no matter what,
some are sprayed from the sky because that's how we started with DDT, spraying from the sky.
That's how.
And then,
how
went.
DDT,
you know,
spraying from the sky, fogging for mosquitoes, all of that stuff. Agent Orange.
Agent Orange basically was to defoliate during the war. It was Monsanto's invention. And that we now call glyphosate or the Roundup. Okay, Roundup is the basis of all the GMO now. Now they're moving to BT, and then they say, okay, now that's not enough, so we will stack up some more pesticides, and we call them smart stacks. And so these are everything smart is stupid.
You got that right.
Smart bombs, smart regulations, smart
really.
Parks.
Yeah,
everything
smart
is smart.
Meters.
Anything they say, they call it smart, it's stupid.
It is.
Okay. So, Shiv, what planet should we go to now?
No, we have to fix our own.
Yeah, we haven't got a way out.
This is the only planet which is habitable. If there was a better planet, God would have selected it. Out of the whole solar system, that's why the Earth was created where it is. Going around trying to find life on Mars, would that be habitable? What's the purpose?
Exactly. So we can say we did. I'd rather say we ate well today because we grew our own food and wasn't good. I'd much rather say that because, yummy for my tummy lasts a whole lot longer than
Absolutely. Up there, they drink their own urine. There's no water there.
Yeah, well, what do they make the urine with, Shiv? I guess we're part of a food chain, huh?
And I'm part of the food chain.
Exactly.
The copying god.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for enlightening us all.
Yeah, thank you.
It's wonderful to have you on. It's wonderful to hear your viewpoint. And, you know, we'll hopefully have you on again in the future and tie all these dots together and make a picture that people can understand, because you do tell the story so very well and easily for people to comprehend exactly the magnitude of what we're facing. So your website is shivchopra.com.
That's right.
And
or they can Google me. They'll get maybe 2.5 million people writing under Google. If they do search shiv.chopra, then you see all these my interviews and on various topics that we talked about.
Yes, it's a treasure trove of information, and I'm happy to point people to it. So thank you so much for joining us, Shiv.
Thank you.
It's been wonderful.
You.
Now, we don't want to make you wait late for your meeting.
Yeah,
so,
I got to go.
Send me more pictures of that gorgeous garden. I can imagine what everything else is looking like.
I thought you'd get a kick out of that.
Oh, I got a kick,
because you asked me
a
question,
how's
my garden doing? So I thought I'd maybe send you some pictures.
Yeah, well, I saw your zucchinis a couple of years ago. They're about the same size as that butternut.
Well, this butternut, you know, it hasn't stopped growing yet. I want to see how big it'll become.
Oh,
it's
wow.
Hanging from all this. I've never seen butternut hanging down.
I haven't either. But when you know, when it grows teeth, eyes, and feet, you let me know.
Okay, good.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you
thank
so
you.
Much. Namaste, and we'll be in touch.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Whoa. Now, is that an education in an hour or two or not?
Yeah, well, a lot, eh? From the Health Canada to everything happening on an international scene.
Yeah, well, you know what's real interesting, Christopher, is, you know, the theme is becoming the same no matter who we talk to, isn't it? It's like if we don't take personal responsibility for how we live, how well we live, and how healthily we live, and what our attitudes are, and what we know on this earth, nobody's going to do that for us. And I think that one of the things that has come forward in the last, particularly over the last 50, 60 years, has been the outgrowth of all this media and communication stuff. Now, as we were saying a few minutes ago, as Shiv was saying a few minutes ago, all of this IT stuff is really good for spreading the information. But you see, what we did in advance of that, while locked into the boob tube and the radio and the newspapers and the journals and all that kind of stuff, what we basically did was we read it, we saw it, we said, oh, that's nice, and then we went back to whatever we were doing. And now it's becoming apparent that while we were taking it so conveniently that somebody else would spoon-feed us all this information, while before we used to spread it hand to hand, information went from person to person, information went by letter, and information went by telephone, and we shared information as we got it. We didn't have intervening media to the extent we have now, propagandizing all our information. We have the ability now to share that information truthfully. And thankfully, we have radio programs like this one and many, many others that are able to put the people on and talk in a way that people are given the choice. Who do you want to believe? Do you want to believe the people who we know are killing other people? Or do you want to listen to the people who say, we can save people if we do this? We can save ourselves if we relearn how to grow our food, how to get our water, how to keep our air clean, how to not pollute, how to educate our children how to think critically instead of following what's in a ding-blasted textbook that some fool wrote and sold to the government. You know, we have to take that responsibility, and that's what's becoming more and more clear, that if we don't do it, nobody's going to, so it's up to us the couch is burning. Do you want to sit on it and blister your butt in the future? Or do you want to get up off it and tell your kids, don't sit down there, you're going to burn yourself? Which do we want? It's that simple, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I don't know. you know, I'm lost in it all. I don't know where to turn or what to do in a way.
Well, you know, my simple direction to people now is don't take anything at face value. Don't take it from me. Don't take it from the government. Don't take it because, and I'm doing a Buddha quote here, mm-hmm. because Buddha himself said, don't believe anything because some wise person said it, or because the government said it, or even because I said it. Believe only what you know in your heart to be true. And that means test all your evidence.
Yeah.
Don't just accept it because it came from the government. You know, the famous lies. I mean, we had this little chat when Jim Fetzer was on a few weeks ago. I'm from the government and I'm here to help you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Remember that? So,
yeah.
I mean, look what we're playing with here, people. This is no joke. You know, we're playing with our own lives, and we have done this. Make no mistake, these rich people have basically usurped control of the world, and I call them rich people. It's not like, you know, I have anything against people who have a little more money than I do, because that's not hard. But what I have against is people who use their money against other people to their own aggrandizement. That's the nobility. Welcome to feudalism.
Yeah, that's so terrible.
But they're only nobles because they say so and we buy it. Where's the basis for nobility besides action? I thought nobility was a strength of heart and of purpose and of mind. That's what I thought nobility meant.
Yeah.
But not to them. They think nobility means I got money and you don't, ha-ha.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, not in the planet I came from, pal. This is just not computing with my tiny mind.
Yeah.
It's just not computing. So, you know, why are we kowtowing to people who are supposedly are betters because they say they are? And why are we not saying, excuse me, bud, the day you can invent dirt, and the day you can put your pants on without putting one foot in at a time, maybe then I'll say you've got something on me. But
the problem for most people is most people don't even realize that there are such a group of psychopaths kind of behind the scenes in managing all these things. I don't think most people recognize that.
Exactly. But you see, it's thanks to guests like we had on today. Like Shiv is amazing. He's an amazing, courageous man. And you wouldn't know it to talk to him, but the man's nearly 80.
Yeah, is he? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. And, of course, he doesn't look it. He looks amazing. But, you know, when I met him, I took one look at him, and I thought, my God, this is a skinny little Buddha on the hoof.
Wow.
And he's a follower of Gandhi, and as he says, he's taken Gandhi's idea, and he's, you know, trying to make that a reality, and he has a large group of people on, it's a Google group called Punjab Echo Crisis, and he has some amazing people who are involved in that, including Vandana Shiva, and a whole bunch of people who are very, very well known in the scientific community worldwide. They're all involved in this. Shiv is no minor player. Let me tell you, he is no minor player.
Wow.
Unfortunately, a lot of us don't have access to some of the work that he's doing, but let me tell you, it's awesome. And the bottom line is, everything that he's doing, we can do.
Yeah.
It's not exclusive to Shiv because he's a scientist or a doctor or anything else. It's not beyond, and this is the proof that he's supplying, it's not beyond any of us to take these steps to make our lives better. It's not beyond any of us. So, you know, what's stopping us? Well, laziness, essentially, complacency, essentially, right? And a lack of knowledge, ignorance, essentially. That's what we're dealing with. That's all we're dealing with. And when they said the truth will set you free, you really think they were kidding about that? I don't think so.
Dee, you should probably give out your I guess I'm not sure you have any contact information at the moment.
Oh, I do now. I do
now. Oh, you do? Oh, yeah, good.
New. This is new. I told you I was going to be making some changes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I have just secured the position of being the Toronto Healthcare Examiner for examiner.com, which is an online news resource of fairly major proportions coming out of Colorado. And I will be posting articles there on a regular basis.
Wow,
people can look for my articles at examiner.com. And, of course, I will be sharing the links with my lists. And, you know, with new articles posted, I'll be doing a minimum of 3 per month. And on occasion, a lot more than that, depending on what's going on. So there is a place where I can shoot my mouth off in relative peace, aside from the egos of other people and the messes that other groups get themselves into. I'm on my own now, examiner.com. You'll find me there.
Great. Wow, that's good. Okay, and I'm at zeropoint.ca. That's my website, and I have my books up there. And I put Shiva's quote up there, or his license, or his website up there today.
Excellent.
Yeah, unfortunately, it was a little late. I didn't get around to it, but we'll leave it up there because then people will see it and follow
work. Like I said at the top of the show, I'll share the link archive with people as soon as it's up there, which will be in the next day or so. And people who were out enjoying this beautiful Saturday afternoon can listen then, but I'm really, really hoping that a lot of people pay attention to what was said today, because all of this is, it's about our own lives. We're saving our own lives here, people.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing.
Really. Yeah.
There's no question about it. Now, I don't know what people do in apartments. You do what you can do. You can grow hanging gardens if you haven't got the garden space. There's amazing things you can do to make your own life better and healthier and safer and more productive in all ways. But we have to take the responsibility ourselves. This is the zero point of the rest of our lives.
Yeah, good. Okay, so with that, this is the Zero Point Show, and we'd like to thank our audience for being in again, and we'll be back in 2 weeks' time.
Absolutely.
Okay, goodbye.
Goodbye.